Chapter 13. Seeds of Insurrection. It is possible to win and lose at once. Think of the war that rages for so long that a world is left worthless in its wake. Think of the swordsman that slays his foe at the cost of his own life. Think, finally, of the siege of terror. Let those fateful nights burn into your memory. Never forget the lesson learned when Horus dueled the false god. Triumph bought with too much blood is no triumph at all. The war sage Malkarion accepted from his work the Tenebrous Path. 10,000 years ago, before humanity was riven by the betrayal of Horus the Chosen, 10th Company returned home to Nostramo. 10th Company, 12th, and 16th, three battle companies returning from the Great Crusade to be honored by their home world. The Night Lords were never like their brother legions. They came from a world without warrior traditions, stretching back through the centuries. The fortitude that girded them for the rigors of the Emperor's Great Crusade was born of a world that knew fear, knew blood, and knew murder, more than any other globe in the Emperor's grip. The people of Nostramo knew these aspects as a natural part of life. The acceptance of such darkness bred a legion colder than any other, a legion willing to discard its humanity in service to the throne. And this is exactly what it did. This was an age when the Night Lords were the emergent Imperium's most powerful threat. A world resisting the Imperial truth could be conquered by the drudging, half-mechanical Iron Hands, or the massed precision of the ever-loyal Ultramarines. It could be brought to compliance by the howling hordes of the Lunar Wolves, who would one day become the Black Legion, or the avenging wrath of the Blood Angels. Or it could suffer the crippling evisceration of society offered by the untender talons of the Night Haunters' chosen sons. Fear was their weapon. As the end of the Great Crusade neared, even as the Night Haunters' brother Primarchs looked askance at their moribund, wayward kinsmen, the Night Lords were the Emperor's most potent weapon. Entire worlds would surrender their arms, as their scanners revealed that the Astartes vessels that had translated into orbit bore the runic symbols of the 8th Legion. In these waning years, the Night Lords encountered less and less resistance, as deviant societies abandoned their defiance rather than die under the claws of the most feared Imperial Legion. Their reputation was hard won through hundreds of campaigns, unleashing their specific brand of terror upon those they conquered. It was never enough to take a world in the Emperor's name. To cement the master of mankind's rule, populations must be utterly quelled into obedience. Obedience through fear. A Night Lord strike force would ravage the heart of a world's leadership, crucifying the bodies of its rulers on public address picked screens, burning the monument houses to the planet's false gods, and systematically peeling back a society's skin to expose the weaknesses beneath. In their wake, shattered populations lived the lives of loyal, silent, Imperial citizens, never even whispering a word of rebellion. And as the years passed, resistance faded. The gene-forged warriors of the Night Lords grew discontent with this. Not only discontent, but bored. When the order came from Terra, the insane demand that the Night Lords and their Primarch father returned to suffer the chastisement of the Emperor, discontent and boredom faded to be replaced by the birth of a new emotion. The Night Lords grew bitter. They, who had hoarded their humanity away in the fires of the Emperor's wars. They, who had allowed themselves to be molded into the Imperium's truest weapon of terror. They were to pay for these deeds, like sinners kneeling before an angry god. Indignity, madness, blasphemy. The last Night Lords to set foot upon the surface of Nostramo were the warriors of 10th, 12th, and 16th companies, a homecoming of special rarity, for few Astartes ever saw their home worlds again. And Nostromo was hardly renowned for doing honour to its sons fighting away in the Emperor's wars. The parade was modest but sincere, a gesture from the captain leading the three companies as the expeditionary battle fleet refueled and made repairs in the docks above Nostromo. 50 Astartes from each company would make planetfall and march down the main avenue of Nostromo Quintus, leading from the spaceport. Talos remembered thinking even at the time it was a strangely emotional gesture. Yet it descended to the surface in blackened, along with the other 9 Astartes of the full-strength First Claw.
"I do not understand," it said to Brother Sergeant Vandred,
who was still centuries away from becoming the Exalted, and still months away from becoming 10th Captain.
"What is there to understand, Brother Apothecary?"
"This descent, the reception on the surface. I do not understand why the 10th Captain has ordered it."
"Because he is a sentimental fool," Vandred replied.
Grunts of agreement sounded from the others, including Zal. Talos said no more, but remained sure there was more to it than something so simple and senseless. There was, of course. He wouldn't find out what for many months. During the parade itself, which was almost alarmingly populous, Talos clutched his bolter to his chest and marched bareheaded with his brothers. The experience was dazzling, though almost without sound at first. Little cheering took place, but the clapping soon became thunderous. The ambivalent people of Nostromo, in the actual presence of the Night Haunter's sons, cast aside their apathy and welcomed their champions home. It was not humbling. Talos was more confused than anything else. Were these people so ardent in their love for the Imperium that they welcomed the Emperor's chosen born from their own world? He had spent his youth on this world, hiding and running and stealing and killing in the black back streets of its cities. The Imperium had always been a distant, ignorable thing at best. Had so much really changed in a mere 2 decades? Surely not. So why were they all here? Perhaps curiosity had dragged them from their habs, and the uniqueness of the moment was breeding the excitement now. Perhaps, he realized with a bolt of guilty unease through his spine, the people thought they had returned permanently, returned to reinstitute the cleansing laws laid down by the now distant Night Haunter. Throne, that was it. That was why they were glad to see them. In the absence of their lost Primarch ruler, the populace hoped for the Haunter's sons to return and take up his duties. The Primarch's lessons were being unlearned. The imprint of his silent crusade on society was a thing of the past. Talos had lived here himself, barely believing the world had once been a bastion of control and order under a Gene God's rule. Now it became humbling. To feel the weight of terrible expectation willed from the crowd, to know they were destined for crushing disappointment. It became worse when the crowd started shouting names. Not insults, real names. It wasn't en masse, but individuals in the groups lining the avenue shouted names at the Astartes for reasons Talos couldn't quite guess. Were they yelling their own names to receive some kind of blessing? Were they screaming the names of sons taken by the Astartes, hoping those very same warriors now walked this wide street? Few moments in life had been as difficult for Talos as this. To feel himself so separated from the life he once led that he couldn't even guess what other humans were thinking. The thin line of enforcers keeping the crowds back broke in several places. Small arms fire banged out, putting down the few members of the mobbing crowd that sought to walk with the Astartes. Only a handful made it to the ranks of marching warriors. They weaved this way and that, looking lost, looking drunk, staring up like frightened, fevered animals into the faces of the walking warriors. A middle-aged man scrabbled at Talos's chest plate with dirty fingernails. "Saurian?" he asked. Before Talos could answer, the man fled, repeating the same whispered question to one of the Astartes 2 rows behind. At no point did the Legion stop marching. Pistol fire broke out as the enforcers, in expensive business suits, took out one of the mortals in the avenue that strayed far enough from the Astartes to guarantee a kill shot without hitting one of the armored giants. None of the enforcers wished to risk his own death by missing and hitting the revered armor of the Night Haunter's sons. An elderly woman harassed Zal. She was barely over half of his height.
"Where is he?"
she shrieked, wasted hands scratching at the marching warrior's armor.
"Zal, where is he? Answer me!"
Talos could read the discomfort in his brother's face as Zal marched on. The old woman, beneath her mop of wild white hair, saw him paying attention. Talos immediately faced forward again, feeling the old woman clawing at his unmoving arm with her weak grip.
"Look at me," she pleaded. "Look at me."
Talos didn't. He marched on, weeping, wailing after him. The old woman fell behind.
"Look at me. It's you, Talos. Look at me."
An enforcer's gunshot ended her demands. Talos hated himself for feeling relief. 5 hours later, back aboard Blackened, Zal had sat next to him on the restraint couches. Never before and never again would Talos see his brother's face marked by such hesitancy.
"That wasn't easy for any of us, but you did well, brother." "What did I do so differently?"
Zal swallowed. Something seemed to dawn behind his eyes.
"That woman, the one from the crowd, you didn't recognize her?"
Talos tilted his head, watching Zal carefully.
"I barely saw her." "She said your name," Zal pressed. "You truly didn't recognize her?" "They were reading our names off our armor scrolls." Talos narrowed his eyes. "She said your name as well."
Zal rose to his feet, making to move away. Talos rose with him, gauntlet clamped on his brother's shoulder guard.
"Speak, Zal." "She wasn't reading our names. She knew us, brother. She recognized us, even after 20 years, and the changes wrought by the gene seed. Throne, Talos, you must have recognized her."
"I didn't, I swear. I saw only an old woman."
Zal shrugged off Talos's grip. He didn't turn around. His words echoed with the same finality as the gunshot that had silenced the old woman's pleas.
"The old woman," Zal said slowly. "She was your mother."
These thoughts echoed in Talos's mind now, on the return to orbit from the war-torn surface of Krythe. The memories, which so safely hid within his unconscious at all times, broke through the surface now. The mood aboard the transport was grim, despite the victory First and Seventh Claws had just achieved. The death of a Titan, even a Warhound-class Titan, a lesser cousin of the city-crushing warlords and imperators, this deed would be etched onto their warplate and machined onto the armor plating of Storm's Eye. Nostraman runes would tell the tale of their triumph until the night when their bodies lay cold and Legion brothers came to scavenge the relic armor. But the mood remained dark. Victory at such a savage cost was barely a victory at all. Talos recalled similar words written by the war sage Malkarion in the years after the Haunter's assassination. And with that thought, With that connection made, Talos's roiling mind, already lost in the coldest, deepest, and most furious pits of memory, turned blacker still. Assassination, murder, blasphemy. The last time he had wept was on that night of wrenching agony, standing with thousands of his brothers and watching the traitorous whore leave the fortress monastery, her gloved hands clutching their father's head by its lank black hair. Hours before, Talos had shared his last words with his Jean sire. "My life," the Primarch had said, head bowed before a gathering of his captains and chosen, "has meant nothing." The bowed god weathered the shouted denials of his favored sons, who all fell silent as he spoke again. "Nothing. Yet I will amend that with my death." "How, Lord? What glory will your sacrifice bring to us?" These words from the Talon Master, Zo Sahal, First Captain. The same questions were uttered from a dozen lips.
"We cannot prosecute the crusade against the Imperium without you," declared Vandred,
not yet the Exalted, not yet Captain of the Tenth, but already considered so gifted by the Haunter in matters of Void War. The Night Haunter smiled, somehow without animating his face, beyond warping the blue veins beneath his cheeks.
"Our crusade of vengeance against the Imperium, against my father's false ascension to godhood, spins upon a fulcrum. Every life we take, every soul that screams in our wake, the rightness of what we do hangs upon a single aspect of balance. Name that aspect. Name it, any of you, you who are my chosen."
"I will,"
said a voice from the loose crowd. The Haunter nodded.
"Speak, Captain of the Tenth."
At those words, Talos glanced at his own captain. So did Vandred. Brother Captain Malkarion stepped forward, leaving the ranks of the company leaders, to stand one step closer to his Primarch.
"The rightness of our crusade is justified because the Imperium is founded upon a lie. The Emperor is wrong in all he does, and the Imperial truth his preachers propagate is flawed and blinding. He will never bring order and law to mankind. He will damn it through ignorance."
"And," Malkarion nodded his head, mimicking the Primarch's earlier bow,
"his hypocrisy must be answered with revenge. We are right because he wronged us. We bleed his flawed empire because we see the truth, the decay beneath the skin. Our vengeance is righteous. It is justice for his scorn of the Eighth Legion."
Malkarion was taller than many Astartes, his bare head showing 7 implanted silver rivets around his right eyebrow, each one a mark of honor, meaning nothing to any outside the Legion. A ferocious fighter, an inspiring leader, and already composing works of great tactical and meditative value, it was all too easy to see why the Night Haunter favored him with captaincy of the Tenth Company.
"All true," the father said to his sons. "But what is the Emperor learning by our defiance? What do the High Lords of Terra learn as we slaughter the citizens of their void kingdom?"
"Nothing," said a voice.
Talos swallowed as he realized it was his own. Every unhelmed face turned to look at him, including the Primarch's.
"Nothing,"
the Night Haunter said, closing his black eyes.
"Nothing at all. Righteousness is useless.
If we alone know we're right.
He had told them before, told them his intent. Yet this cold, ironclad confession still undermined the inner preparations each one had made to deal with the death of their Jean's sire. All the questions previously quelled broke loose, and the grim acceptances paved over doubts were shattered. Here was the chance to argue, to defy, to challenge fate. Voices rose in protest.
It is written,
the Night Haunter murmured. His whispered words were always enough to bring his sons to silence.
I feel your defiance, my Night Lords. But it is written. And more than that, even were this a destiny to be battled and resisted, it is right that I die.
Talos watched the sire of the Eighth Legion, his own black eyes narrowed.
Soul Hunter,
the Night Haunter said suddenly, gesturing with a hand that resembled a marble claw.
I see understanding dawn in your eyes. No, Lord, he said.
Talos felt several of the captains and chosen eyeing him, hostile as ever at the way their Primarch singled him out for the honor of such a deed name.
Speak, Soul Hunter. The others understand, but I hear your thoughts. You have framed it in words better than any other. Even our honorable and verbose Malkarion.
Malkarion nodded in respect to Talos, and the gesture gave him impetus to speak.
This is not entirely about the Legion. Continue.
Again, the marble claw invited more.
This is a lesson from a son to his father. Just as you instruct us in the principles to continue this crusade, you will show your own father, who watches all from the Golden Throne, that you will die for your beliefs. Your sacrifice will echo in your father's heart forever. You believe your martyrdom will set a fiercer example than your life. Because...
The Night Haunter smiled again, a fanged smirk that had nothing to do with delight. Talos drew a breath to speak the words he'd seen in his dreams, the words his Jean's sire would speak before the assassin's blade fell.
Because death is nothing compared to vindication.
60 seconds to dock, Septimus said in muted tones.
Talos would not be jarred from his reverie. Deeper, deeper, away from the sight and scent of damaged power armor and bleeding skin, away from the pitted and cracked hull of both the transport and Storm's Eye, gripped within the carrying claws. Away from the two squads of men with their annihilated numbers, their tainted souls, and their bitter victory. Deeper.
Nostromo was blighted, the Primarch said.
It would be the final time Talos spoke to his father. Conrad Kurz held his son's helm, turning it over in his hands, white fingertips tracing the Nostraman rune upon its ceramite forehead.
Soul Hunter, he whispered the name. Soon, in the nights to come, you will earn the name I have already given you.
Talos did not know what to say, so he said nothing at all. Around them, the black stone chamber of the Haunter's throne room remained silent, but for the sounds of their armor reflecting off the walls.
Our home world, the Primarch said, was more than blighted. It was ruined. You know why I killed our world, Talos? You sense the honorless, murderous nature of the Legion now.
Many sense it, Lord.
Talos drew in the ice-cold air. His breath steamed out.
But We are a weapon against the Imperium, and we are righteous in our vengeance. Nostromo had to die. The Primarch continued as if Talos had said nothing. I tried to tell my brothers. I told them of Nostromo's backslide into lawlessness and cruelty. The recruitment had to halt. My legion was poisoning itself from within. The planet had to die. It had forgotten the lessons I taught with blood and pain and fear. The Night Haunter stared past Talos, at the black wall of his chamber. A thin trickle of saliva made its way down his chin from the corner of his mouth. The sight made Talos's main heart beat faster. It was not fear. That would be impossible, for he was Astartes. It was unease. Unease at seeing his Primarch so unstable. Assassins come. One will reach this palace. Her name is Amshen, Talos whispered. He had dreamed the name himself. Yes. The Primarch's tongue flicked out to lick at the trailing drool. Yes, and she too does the work of justice. The Night Haunter handed the helm back to Talos, closing his eyes as he lowered his slender, armored form onto the throne. I am no better than the millions I burned on Nostromo. I am the murderous, corrupt villain that the Imperial Declarations name me. I will greet this death gladly. I punished those who wronged. Now my own wrongs will be punished in kind. A delicious and balanced justice. And in this murder, the Emperor will once again prove me right. I was right to do as I did, just as he is right to do as he does.
Talos stepped closer to the throne. The question that left his lips was not the one he'd intended to voice.
Why? He said, eyes burning with something akin to anger. Do you call me Soul Hunter?
The Night Haunter's black eyes gleamed, and the enthroned god smiled again.
And we're down, Septimus said. Docked and locked, powering down now.
Talos rose to his feet, leaving the restraint couch.
Septimus, see to the navigator. Ensure her surgery occurred without complications.
Yes, Lord.
First claw, seventh claw, Talos said. With me. We are going to speak with the Exalted. The war on the surface is costing us dearly.
The losses are acceptable.
Talos eyed the Exalted's visage, twisted and leering in a parody of pale Nostraman flesh.
Acceptable? The Prophet asked. By what standards? We have lost 9 Astartes since we made planetfall. The War Master is throwing us against the hardest targets on Krythe.
And we break them.
Embedded within every pure Astartes was the capacity to generate acidic spit. And Loyalist chapters descended from flawed gene seed. This ability was occasionally hindered, stunted, or absent altogether. The Night Lords were not impure. At the Exalted's obdurate display, Talos felt his saliva glands tingling, responding to his annoyance. With a whispered curse, he swallowed the burning venom, where it would dissipate harmlessly in his stomach acids. It stung on the way down his throat.
Yes, we break them, and we break ourselves upon them. We are fighting the Mechanicus. The War Master is bleeding us against targets ill-suited to our Legion's warfare. Titans and servitors and tech guard. We are wasted against an enemy too inhuman to feel fear.
It is not the role of a warrior to whine when he is deployed outside his ideal battlefield, Talos.
Then by all means, Adhemar interjected, spreading his arms wide, come down to the surface, Excellency. Bloody your claws with the rest of us. Allow your precious Atramentar to fire some bolts in anger. See for yourself.
The older Astartes grinned, wolf-like and keen, as the Atramentar either side of the Exalted's throne growled through their tusked helms.
We just crippled a Titan.
Adhemar's dark eyes shone with amusement.
So don't think you raising those weapons is any deterrent to us telling the truth.
The Exalted burbled a wet chuckle.
You are in fine spirits for a sergeant that so recently led his men to their deaths.
The smile was wiped from Adhemar's face. Talos looked between the two Atramentar, Garadon and Vral, in their bullish Terminator plate. Tense, ready. But they would not act, he was sure of it.
Enough of this madness, Talos said. We are hurled like fodder against insane resistance, and ordered to scout ahead of the mortal armies.
Scout ahead, Astartes? This is no way to wage war. Fear is our greatest weapon, and that blade is blunted in this conflict.
You will fight because it is the will of the War Master,
the Exalted sneered.
And it is my will. Seventh Claw is destroyed.
Talos's fingers ached to draw Aurum. He knew with icy certainty he could ascend the dais and ram the golden blade home in Vandred's chest before the Atramentar cut him down. Sorely, sorely tempting.
Did you harvest their gene seed? You were my apothecary once. It would grieve me to think you had forgotten your former duties completely.
I cut them from the bodies of the slain myself, Talos replied.
And he had. With his combat knife, he'd cut the progenoid glands from the chest and neck of each killed warrior. Adhemar, with tears in his eyes, had packed the discolored organs in freezing gel, storing them in a sealed stasis crate aboard Storm's Eye. Six souls lost. Lost to the warp. He imagined his men, brave warriors all, their shades howling as they drifted through the sea of souls.
Adhemar and Mercutian are First Claw now.
Talos was adamant.
That is not a request.
The Exalted shrugged, moving weighty armor and bone spikes. Matters of unit size and assignment were beneath him.
And let us be clear, Brother Captain Vandred. This war will see us dead. The War Master will bleed the Tenth to the bone, because we are expendable to him. Their survivors will, by virtue of no other choices remaining to them, join the Black Legion.
The War Master, 1,000 praises upon his name, has granted his forgiveness for your outburst on the surface of the prison world.
The Exalted's ruined teeth glistened unpleasantly.
Do not abuse his generous nature, Talos.
Talos looked to the Atramentar. Garadon had been there. Had he not explained the truth of the matter?
The War Master sought to create divisions between the landing party. He wanted me because my second sight is not blinded, as his own seers suffer. I cannot believe you still refuse to see the light of truth. Garadon was with us. Surely he...
The hammer of the Exalted relayed all that occurred. The only flaw the Black Legion was guilty of was allowing our Thunderhawk to be overrun by prisoners.
Are you insane?
Talos took a step closer. Both of the Atramentar brought their weapons to bear, Garadon hefting his hammer, and Vral's lightning claws sparking into hostile life.
They blew the main ramp door open with explosives!
The Exalted did not answer, but the smile revealed all. It knew. The Exalted knew, had always known, and did not care. The loss of Talos, no matter how precious a commodity his prophetic gift was, would be an acceptable sacrifice in the name of the Warmaster's continued goodwill. Talos's next words came out as a whispered threat.
If you think I will allow you to lead the Tenth into the grave because you hunger so feverishly for Abaddon's good graces, you are sorely mistaken.
You seek to usurp me, soul hunter.
The Exalted still smiled.
No, I seek leadership for the surface conflict. I want to win this war and still have a company to come back to.
Promoting yourself, how droll.
Not I, Vandred.
Finally, the Exalted reacted. It rose from its throne on squealing armor hinges. Its slanted, bird-like eyes narrowed.
Do not speak his name. He slumbers too deeply. He will not awaken. I am the Exalted. I am Captain of the Tenth. You will obey me.
Enough, Vandred. You will not lead us on Cryth. And we are dying to your desire in order to please the Warmaster. We are fighting an enemy that lacks any human emotion. They do not feel fear, and they will not panic. It is costing us life and resources to destroy such a foe in grinding traditional warfare. If their morale can yet be broken, it will not be done with bolters and blades. So we will use our own machines, the machines they once made for us.
I am going to the Hall of Remembrance, finished Talos. First Claw, with me.
With those words spoken, he stalked from the bridge, guarded by the sacred weapons of the newly forged First Claw. Outside, Sirion stopped. With the doors closed behind them, he leaned against the wall, head down, as if stunned. A tremor overtook his right arm, and he held onto his bolter only because his fist tightened in an uncontrolled clenching of tendons. In a broken voice that reached only Talos, he said,
"Brother, we must speak. The Exalted's terrors are flooding him. He is finally drowning in them."
"I do not care."
"You should care. When you spoke of the Hall of Remembrance, what remains of Vandred within that tainted shell was weeping in fear."
The Exalted and its guardians watched the squad leave. As the doors slammed closed in the Astartes' wake, Garadon lowered his ornate hammer, resting its haft on his shoulder once more. The black lion's face of his shoulder armor roared silently in the direction of the sealed doors.
"I will never understand why the Primarch honored Talos so highly," the Atramantar said.
Vral, on the other side of the Exalted's command throne, voxed his own thoughts.
"He is fortunate. Luck favors him. He dreamed of the Navigator. Now he takes a Titan Princeps prisoner. The War Master himself will praise that capture."
"You sound disgusted, brother."
Garadon's own voice was as cool and toneless as ever.
"Does his fortune offend you?"
Vral had still not retracted his lightning claws. They hissed and sparked in the gloom of the bridge, sending harsh illumination flashing along the contours of his bulky Terminator armor like sheet lightning.
"It does.
He offends me with each breath he draws.
Vral,
the exalted slurred, its voice thick with bitter mucus.
Yes, my prince.
Follow them. I do not care how it is done, but the ritual of reawakening must be desecrated.
Yes, my prince.
Vral nodded his tusked helm. The servos in his ancient warplate growled at the movement. The exalted licked its fanged teeth, uncaring of the blood it drew.
Talos must not be allowed to awaken, Malkarion.